Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
An exciting day here at the Mike O'Mara Show, not because Mike is not here.
Well, no, Mike's on a travel day.
He's traveling because we have the big show at the Improv tomorrow, but because we're joined in studio by a good guy, Adam Ferrara.
Hey, woo! Nice to see you. Nice to be back.
Yeah, you know what? It's nice to have you back, and it's good to know we didn't burn that bridge.
No. I think last time I was here, it had to be Christmas time, but I think you had a fruitcake or something.
Yes, and we also re-gifted you a gift that came from, I believe, our building owner.
It was candy.
And it was horribly underwhelming.
Yeah.
Adam might have re-gifted it once it got to the hotel.
I believe so, yes.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think it made it to the car. I think I gave it back to the building owner on the way out.
Would you like some cookies?
Yeah.
Well, you know Adam is a great stand-up comic, but also he's been in Nurse Jackie, Rescue Me, and Top Gear US, Lamborghini this week, right?
I did, yeah. I had a Lamborghini before I came here. They were kind enough to give me the new Hurricane, so you don't say no. That's a gift I'm not giving back. They had to chase me to get that one back.
Yeah.
That's a great car.
I bet they had a hard time catching it.
Yeah.
Man, where are the cookies?
You got to join us at the holiday
time. There were some cookies in here.
Let's get the plugs out of the way.
Okay.
Tonight, Friday night, November 4th, you're going to have two shows at the DC Improv.
Yeah.
You've got a 7:30 and a 9:45. Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday, two shows. Saturday night, it's 7:30 and 9:45. And on Sunday at 7:30, I went to your show last time you were in town.
Yeah.
And I went with I wanted to go with my fiance. Mm-hmm. She said no.
Yes.
Because she, for some reason, has something to do with yoga every weekend.
Sure.
Really? Yoga.
You didn't tell her that Adam's show was an Adam-centric,
but you know,
yoga-centric
show? You can watch an upward facing dog if you want. I'll lay the mat out for you, lady.
No, but I went with one of our associate producers, Robert Ford.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we died. Oh, we absolutely died. It was so much fun. Yeah. It was killer. So if you're in town for, we're doing a matinee on Saturday.
I heard.
And you listen to the show and you're looking for somewhere to go and continue laughing.
Yes.
You have all these options all weekend.
Yeah, come
that
see me.
That is huge.
And if you want to do some yoga, we'll make some room for you. Did you marry the fiance?
We're still working on it.
You're still working on that?
Yeah.
She's French.
It's a fiance. Long engagement.
Yeah.
Long engagement.
No date has been set.
So, wait a minute.
I know, right?
Baby, I love you. I want to marry you.
Really? When?
Soon.
Well, there's a lot of layers to this cake. I went back to school and I pursued my MBA, so that kind of pushed things back.
Ah, my ba.
Yes, and then we bought a home.
Good for
and
you.
And we've been in the middle of renovating the home.
Oh, home is a disaster.
So every time she starts talking about the wedding date or a wedding, I point to the radiators that just got replaced.
Brother
and
man, you're preaching too quiet. I know exactly what you're saying. I got the same thing. I married the woman. Then we're doing a resume.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden, your roles become clearly defined. Apparently, I'm Ricky Ricardo. Everything she comes up with, I go, Lucy, we can't afford it.
Yes,
this is taking forever. Why should we get the counter-depth fridge? Because that's less money and convenient. No, we need a Sub-Zero and push out the wall. It's me, her, and two dogs. Why do we need this cold storage? Are we killing a material witness and hiding here until the heat is off, honey?
Those fractions of an inch for a refrigerator.
Yes.
Refrigerator, right?
Yeah.
Yes. They are, you're talking about $10,000.
Yes,
exactly.
And I remember, I just briefly, I said, hey, So I have the worst home in the nicest neighborhood in D.C.
That's the way you do it.
But
yeah.
But it's probably, they should have been condemned. Like it was an ill-fated purchase.
Yes.
Okay.
And all my neighbors have Sub-Zero.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's really great looking. Like, it's so neat and sleek.
Stop. I'm stopping you right now. I am stopping you right now with your neighbors. Your friggin' neighbor. What are you out of your mind? What, your neighbor? I don't even know who my neighbors are. Yeah. I know what they name their Wi-Fi. That's what I know about my neighbors.
But he has to put money into his fridge because it's the only thing that's air conditioned in his house.
Oh God,
that's it. No AC yet.
And then right now, no heat.
No, we got heat. Fine. That's why the we don't talk about the wedding because we got the heat.
Oh, okay.
We got the radiators put back in.
But okay. It was a horse race.
It was. It was tough.
Are you guys like making clothes for Kathy Lee Gifford? What the hell are you doing in this house? It's like you're handcuffed sewing footballs for Nike. What are you doing?
It was built in 1840. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of 1840 heavy up that needs to happen to 2016, right? Mm-hmm.
So, when you moved in and there were election posters for Lincoln, did you say like maybe this is a little...
People born in that house were old enough to vote for Lincoln. Mm-hmm. That's really putting it into perspective. Oscar is not the kind of guy that rushes into things except for this house.
Well, it really... Again, if you...
You went from signing the papers to talking about disassembling the fireplace.
Yeah. Brick
just
by brick.
To clarify, just okay. With the Sub-Zero, not going to happen.
Yes.
I found out how much that actually cost.
Yes, yeah.
And I said,
what do you think I'm screaming for? I don't care about you. I'm getting it out about me.
I said, that's a little condo in Arizona. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. And I'll take whatever Amazon will deliver to the house.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
As far as the house in 1840 is concerned, it really, it's in the long run, it'll be a great value, right? But we're really paying for that value for the next 2 to 3 years. Okay. That's just the reality of it.
Okay, 1840.
Yes.
All right. So what do you got, gas lamps? What do you
In 1840, you have the original hardwood floors, which nobody can ever match. So you have to decide to restore them and then hand make the boards.
And to be fair, they've been sanded down and redone so many times. Now the
board, no wood left.
They're very bouncy.
Okay.
So
I'm a larger man than him. I've not been invited over because of the floors.
Right.
Because I could actually require a replacement of the floors.
Well, isn't there any historical value to this house?
It is.
Oh, there's that too.
It is.
Well, there's only so much you can do.
There's only so much everyone tells you you should do. Though I've had 3 floor experts come through. Mm-hmm. One guy who really, as soon as he said this, I said, well, this isn't going to work out because you clearly are too expensive. He said, you know, we do the floors at the White House. And I said, you should probably leave right now.
Yeah.
If you restored those floors, you're not going to be getting these floors.
That's
government
burned in
money.
The 1800s.
It's so true.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, enough about the home. So you feel my pain, right?
Yeah.
You absolutely feel my pain.
Move now. The only reason to stay in that house is not to get married. That's the only reason to stay in that house.
And it's been working.
How is she doing yoga on those floors?
It's funny. She's not. She lays out.
Of course she's not. She's going to go through it.
Her friends come over, and it's so sad because as soon as I come in, they're all... cross, like sitting cross, like little kids on the rug. Like,
yeah.
The one rug that covers the room because they know not to walk on the floor.
Yeah. Now, how long have you been married?
Let's see. It'll be 4 years in February, but we've been together for like 10 years and we got the house and the house still isn't done.
Still.
Oh my God.
It's
a process. Right?
And she's an actress?
She was, yeah. We got married. She goes, you know what? I don't know if I want to act. I said, you're too good for these people. Stay home. I'll do it. So she stayed, and she's designing the house, and she, you know, I'm a mom and pop business, so she helps me. Like when you saw the Lamborghini stuff, she was the one holding the camera. Basically, Facebook Live on Tuesday nights.
The Talk to Me Tuesday. I love when that comes on my feed.
Yeah.
I mean, you have been at this a while, and so you were doing this before social media was a thing.
Yeah.
And you've embraced this, and I love that on Tuesday night, I click on Facebook, and you're there talking to people for an hour at a time. How did that come about?
My wife is just holding the camera on me going, don't say that, you idiot. It's live. I would talk to the fans on Top Gear. We would we'd live tweet with everyone. And
that's a passionate fan base.
Yeah. Yeah.
Passionate fan base.
Then when the show went on hiatus, I missed talking to people, so Facebook Live popped up.
Yeah.
That's
so
genius.
I was just talking to them.
That's genius.
And there's people that come back. Kenny comes back every week. Crazy Kenny from Syracuse.
Yeah.
Larry goes, I'm bored. Really, Larry? How much did you pay for a ticket? And, you know, there's kids that want to say goodnight. So every week, you know, I say goodnight to them and stuff.
And I love, sometimes you're outside, sometimes you're in your living room. I've seen you driving around. It's great.
Yeah, Lamborghini gave me the car.
We love it. Yeah.
So it's nice. And you don't realize, I guess you don't realize when we, because we do this for a living.
Yes.
Right.
And you don't realize that you're actually reaching people. And I remember when I was a kid listening to what I would like to listen to.
Right.
I'm from the area of comedy albums and stuff. So it's just a nice thing to be able to do.
When you grew up listening to comedy albums, what were your favorite albums?
Richard Pryor, which is huge. Mm-hmm. Richard Pryor, George Carlin, The 2,000-Year-Old Man, Mel Brooks.
Oh, it's my favorite.
Cosby until we found out what was really going on.
True. Kind of weird. Don't you feel a little dirty listening to Cosby now?
I can't
now?
Do it anymore.
Stuff that I had memorized at like age seven, and I just don't even want to listen to it anymore.
I don't even feel comfortable wearing my patchwork robe.
I need a shower.
Yeah, you know, as far as the connection with your fans, that level of connection, and in your own right, and we're not blowing smoke up your butt, you're famous, right? You're famous because that's true, but you're famous on a level where you've got these heritage shows like Rescue Me that were already built in, and then you get to a place where you've got this other show that's about cars, right? Mm-hmm. And that fan base is a whole different animal, right?
Yeah, you get to do different. It's funny when people come see me at the show; they'll be like, "Some people know me from Rescue Me, some people know from Nurse Jackie," and then the car people show up, and then some of the kids aren't old enough to come in. So if there's a lot of those, I'll come out on a Saturday. I'll tweet out, "Listen, if you want to come in, I come out before the show to see the kids."
Oh, cool!
And
cool.
I just take pictures and stuff, mm-hmm. and they look at you and they go, "Is that mold chocolate?" You know, little thing you think.
But the top, and I'm sorry, I'm harping on the car side.
The car side's great.
The car side, I remember when they cast the show and announced that you've got six seasons under your belt, and it's just had such a successful run that in my eyes, that audience is just, you get to really get into two different worlds. Here, right? You've got entertainment that clearly you've got such a, you know, on FX.
Yeah.
But then you've got this whole another entity of car clubs and car nerds.
Well,
and
it goes even beyond that. I mean, essentially you've done sitcom work. You've done film work. You've done.
Yes.
And, you know, not to diminish it because it has an ugly connotation. But, you know, Top Gear, that's a reality show, essentially.
It's supposed to be. Yeah. I resisted doing a lot of hosting stuff and stuff because it wasn't. But the Top Gear, when it came my way, and I like cars, and what I liked about the British show, because I was a big fan of it, was the camaraderie with the guys.
Sure.
Yes.
And that's what
we
wanted to capture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And one of the best tweets we got, and we still go back to it, was a nice lady in Wisconsin said, I'm a single mother. This is the only time my son, who's 13, so there's a lot of hormones raging.
Sure.
And she's trying to keep it all together by herself, and he doesn't have any brothers, just her and the kid. She goes, it's the only time we sit down, and I hope one day my son makes friends like gets friendships like you guys have.
Oh, that's cool.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, that is.
And I'm like, oh, man, if they just knew how much we yell at each other.
Yeah. You're just showing the good
you
part.
You and Tanner just yelling.
It's pretty much that relationship you see on TV is just pretty much that's us. Just yelling at each other. And we went from being colleagues to friends to brothers, so we can scream and yell.
So I saw a hashtag The Wrecker, right?
Okay.
What cars have you been involved in wrecks on the show?
They gave me that name after the first episode we did. I jumped a caddy about 40 feet in the air.
This is great. This is a great story.
It was the first time we were shooting. We were tracing the roots of NASCAR, which was moonshine running.
Okay.
So we all had to pick a car, and I picked a 70 Coupe DeVille because listen to me. What am I going to show
exactly.
up?
Exactly. Okay, I'm with you.
A Subaru? Get out of here. Give me that Cadillac. And give me the 76, the big one. Because in 77, they got all smaller and
they were being responsible.
Yeah.
They stopped being fun.
Well, that's everything. Elvis died on the toilet.
It all went to crap. Yeah.
So I got this monster boat, and I'm off-roading it, and I had to go through water. And I had bald tires, so I just dropped it in low. I punched the gas, and I went through the water to get through the water, and I went up into the air, and I kept going up.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I'm about 40 feet in the air, this giant yellow whale just flying through the air. And there's no safety stuff. Tanner, I had an $8 motocross helmet. Tanner took the shoulder belt, put it under the headrest, and went, "You'll be fine." And I, boom, I landed and bananaed this thing.
Oh.
And you know, when Tanner is a stunt driver,
right?
His face is white.
Oh no!
And I landed, and they came up to the car, and he just went, and they named me the wrecker right after that.
Really, really wild. The Lamborghini. I don't want to walk away without this. And I'm sorry, Rob.
It's
just
fine.
I'm going crazy here.
Yeah.
The Lamborghini.
It's nice to see you involved
in DC. That. Having had a low-profile car in the city, that type of car doesn't lend itself to a city like Washington, D.C.
Doesn't lend itself to any city.
No.
That car is, look at me, look at me. It's bright. The one I had was yellow, it was bright red and green. That car is the drunken uncle that shows up at the wedding in a yellow suit, who kisses the bride on the mouth, gets drunk, and sings with the band.
True.
That's that car.
So true.
Yeah, the drunken uncle also doesn't do well on cobblestones.
No.
Nothing. Just a horrible
car's
thing.
That car is horrible. It's a horrible car for a city.
It's
too low. It's got a hydraulic nose. You got to lift the nose to get over things.
Oh, my God. Really?
I didn't know it had a hydraulic nose.
Yeah. That there's a whole important switch that raises the nose to
so
get over
if
stuff.
You see a speed bump, you
You're
have to.
You're dead.
Yeah, turn around.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
sell the car.
I was just curious. Every time I see that or an Audi R8 even.
It's the same car. Audi bought it. So Gallardo and Audi's.
I didn't know that.
The same,
okay.
It's the same. One's the Italian car. Hey. And the other one's the German car. Like, yes. The German car seems to work, and the Italian car throws a fit.
Isn't it true the German car just destroys the speed bump?
Yeah.
It kills it, right?
Yeah.
Pushes through. Yeah.
It actually conquers the speed bump in 19 days.
I just never. I said how many times does you get gut shot if you own that car when you just roll over a piece of concrete?
Oh, you're
that
terrible!
Fell off a house.
It's like, yeah,
right.
Yeah,
the Corvette was like they gave me a ZR1 for a couple days. And that's the supercharged one. And that's a fun car. You can't see out of it. You can't see the edges of the car. You can hear it. But you can't see out of it. You know, but it's all those supercars you can't see out of.
In Los Angeles, and this was interesting, Rob. My sister lived in Bel Air for a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And she said,
she's got money to help you with the house if she's in Bel Air.
No, they were doctors at Cedar Sinai.
They text a lot.
Yes.
Not a lot of contact. A lot of texting.
Okay, a lot of texting.
But when I went out there.
Send her a picture of your floor.
And trust me. Every time I
You're a doctor. This is the cause of my pain. Fix it.
My sister's like, do you need help with the house? I'm like, no. No, I'm almost 40. No.
So proud.
It's all right. The answer is yes. The answer is actually immediately. You're almost 40 with this house? You ain't going to make it. How's that?
So true.
She told me this, and I don't know if this is just an urban legend, but once you get... So Bel Air is right next to Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
In Beverly Hills, the lanes are wider. Mm-hmm. They are wider.
The actual roads are
so
wider.
So the lanes are wider.
Wow.
And I was like, why do you need wider lanes? It's some of these wonderful cars that you see in Bel Air, just everywhere in Los Angeles primarily, where I sat there and I said, man, did they make these lanes wider so people wouldn't be as close to each other with their nice cars? I have no idea.
Wow, I have no idea if that's true or not.
But the roads are immaculate.
No, they're not.
No?
No. Well, I live in Santa Monica.
A beautiful area.
Yeah. Yes. And that's what I'm telling you. It's killing me. I'm not even a historical house and it's killing me. My property taxes are just
I can't imagine.
And my wife tries to put a positive spin on everything. Well, it goes for the schools and we don't have any kids. I got two dogs. And we got to pay for the schools. You know what I did? I enrolled in the seventh grade. I make the bus pick me up at my house. The doctor wrote me a note. They got to give me a special meal and I get a trophy for everything.
It softens the blow.
But yeah, the cars that they have out there, they're huge. They have now the big cars are the Teslas, the SUV Teslas.
Oh, all over the place.
And they hate me in my neighborhood. You know what my daily driver is?
What?
The car is a 1970 Buick Electra 225.
Hey.
18 feet 5 inches of Detroit steel.
They didn't get much bigger than that.
No.
That's about the biggest GM ever built, right?
I got three garages. It doesn't fit in any of them. I painted it black cherry metallic. Yeah. I dropped the suspension. I got dual exhaust. I smoked the windows, and I drive around Santa Monica. I play Parliament Funkadelic, and I scare white people.
That is brilliant.
Can I circle back with a comedy question?
Sure.
I, as Oscar has a car passion, I'm a comedy passion.
Go.
You mentioned that growing up, that George Carlin albums were one of your things. You got to open for him.
I did, yeah.
And we are all Carlin fans on this show, and we feel his loss, and we play his tapes, and we love his stuff. What was your sense of the guy when you opened for him? Did you get a chance to meet him? Did you know him at all?
I hung out with him.
What was he like?
2 days. Well, first of all, it's at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach, which is like a little theater. So it's like
sort of a legendary venue.
Yeah, it's a legendary venue, and there's like it's set up like a theater. So it's like wings and a little stage. It's really beautiful. So I get a call. I was supposed to headline that weekend, and my manager calls me and says, "Listen, Mike Lacey, they got to bump your weekend." What? Yeah, they got to move you. But you can open if you want. So right away, open.
Yeah.
What sword swallower thinks they're bumping me?
Don't you know who I am?
Yeah, I'm not opening. What circus actor think I'm going to open for them? George Carlin. Does he need a ride? Is he hungry?
Yeah,
what can
exactly.
I do?
Wow.
So you take the gig. Mm-hmm. So I take the gig, and there's a little green room, and I walk in, and Mike, I'm sorry, it's Mike. No problem at all. He says, George is in there. You can't go in before the show. But he'd love to meet you after the show. Go do your thing. MC goes up. I go up. I do my half hour. I come off. And as I come off, there's a little man standing in the shadow right by the curtain. And you can't really see him. You just see an outline, the silver beard. And and I hear, "You're funny." And I heard, "And you're Carlin." And I shook his hand. And he grew up in Morningside Heights, which is right below Harlem. They used to call it White Harlem.
Right.
And I knew, my family, I know some people up there. So we were talking about the old neighborhood, and he quoted a joke. He watched my act.
Wow. How did that feel?
I didn't know he was watching my act. And he quoted, I had an old joke about Dick Clark in New Year's. He goes, "I like that Dick Clark joke." And he's telling me, and we're just talking like comics. And we're just talking and got carried away in the conversation, and he missed his intro.
Oh, no!
the MC intro, and we heard, "Ha," and he looks at me and goes, "Is that me?" I go, "I think so, Joe." And he went out and he did the set, and he came back in and we took pictures and we talked and he met my wife. I got a picture of me and him. It's in my kitchen.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he goes, "All right, I'll see you tomorrow night." And I said, "Okay, pal." And we walked home and I was I'm all smiling. I said, "George Carlin, watch my whole set." My wife goes, "Yeah, I know. You kill it. This is great." And he goes, and then it clicked in. I went, "Oh my God, George Carlin just watched my whole set. And I got to open for him again tomorrow. I can't do any of the same material." He's had 9 Comedy Central specials, HBO specials and stuff. And I can't. So I had to go home and write a whole new act.
Wow.
So that whole night, I pulled my notebooks out. And my wife and I played this game called "Honey, Is This Funny?"
That's brilliant, though, that the idea that you have. That that you have to come with your A game, but a different A game the next day.
Yeah. What was it? Knowing, because the first time you did it, and you didn't know he was watching, and you come off and you find out he watched you and he thought you were great.
Yeah.
How does that energy compare with the fact that the second night
he's watching?
Yeah, absolutely.
More pressure. And you can't do your stuff like, everything becomes funny, but bits, they're like fruit.
Uh-huh.
You get a window of opportunity where a bit's working because you're emotionally connected to it and you're excited about it. And then, they're still funny, but you're working on new stuff, so there's new energy in it. So it's kind of cool to come back to something with because you're different as an artist. You're different,
sure.
And I'm a confessional comic, so you talk about what's going on in your life. So to come back to stuff with some perspective and time on it was interesting. But you're a wreck. Carlin's back there watching.
Wow. And second day, did you get a good review as well?
Yeah, I got Saturday night, and pulled that off. but it was great.
That's amazing. And when
then
you
he
get
passed,
a chance.
And then that was the last special. He passed away right after that.
No
so
kidding.
I got to meet Pryor too a couple times.
Did you really?
They used to have the American Comedy Awards.
Right.
And so his table was here, my table was here, as I do on radio. I'm pointing.
Right next to you.
Yeah.
Right next to you. And I got nominated a couple of years. So they showed a clip and everything. And my friend, to this day, Mary Ellen Hooper, a great comic, and she pushed me to meet. She goes, "Go say hi to Richard." I go, "I'm scared." She goes, "You're never going to get this opportunity again. He just saw your clip because they played a clip."
Right.
And I went up and said, "Mr. Pryor." And she goes, "It's Richard. You're funny. That was you up there."
God, that must have been unreal.
And I just, Richard surprised that I was funny. I was like, man, I'm done.
Yeah, retire. You can retire now.
That's it, baby.
Well, thank God you're still at it because he's at the Improv this weekend,
absolutely.
Right?
Tonight, Friday, November 4th, 7:30 and 9:45. Saturday, You can do this after our event. It's 7:30 and 9:45 as well. That's Saturday, November 5th and November 6th, 7:30 p.m. Go get tickets at dcimprov.com. Look for Adam and follow him on Twitter at Adam Ferrara. Adam Ferrara on Facebook and Snapchat, The Adam Ferrara. Mm-hmm.
And I saw on, in closing, I just want to say this. I do adore your stand-up.
Thank you.
When I go on YouTube, it's like getting lost in the greatest bunny hole of all time. But I saw that you were, it was said in your Wikipedia page, you were inspired by Jackie Gleason.
Yeah.
And I love the great one. And I just want to say, I see it in your stand-up.
Oh, thanks.
Because you pull from real life. And there is a... You pull funny out of sad and the way he did on his show. And I love to see that sort of, that vein of comedy carry on. I think it's brilliant.
When we were kids, Honeymooners, that's what you watch at 11:30.
Of course, all 39 episodes.
All 30, and you knew what they were by the start.
Exactly.
And the door opened backwards.
That's right. That's exactly right.
What are you doing home so early, Gary? The saloon burned down? But that pathos, Pryor had that too, that pathos. In that
exactly.
Image. There's a movie called Gigot where he plays the French.
Like a mime, he's a mute, right?
He doesn't say a word and he breaks your heart.
It is, it's
like,
amazing.
Oh, man.
But that, I think, adds such a richness to your comedy.
Oh,
anyway, I just wanted to say that for me.
Thank you, brother.
Adam Ferrara, thank you so much
guys.
For coming in.
Be well. Sell that friggin' house.
Thank you, Adam.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I remember the food at the holidays. We used to go to her house for that holiday they got called Passover. You leave the door open waiting for Elijah. We were there all night. This guy never showed. I played along with him. Is that him? Does Elijah have a Mercedes? MD plates, Dr. Elijah? No? Sorry. Her mother was pissed. You should have seen her trying to defend me. It's okay, Ma. He's a comedian. No, he's an okay. He's in there with two yarmulkes on his chest like a bra. He's got the dreidel out playing roulette with your cousins. They're betting on Gimmel. It's a shonda. One of the cultural differences that proved to be challenging was I learned this from her. Jews are raised to ask questions. You have to ask questions like, why? How come? How much? That much? Why should I spend that much? And Italians, we don't want to ask questions because we don't want any information. Look, I didn't see nothing. I don't know nothing. Don't subpoena me, all right?
The Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, here's Rob.
Funny guy, cool guy.
A lot of fun, a lot of fun.
Love when he comes by. Live from the Cappy Piper Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., this is The Mike O'Mara Show. Heard daily at MikeO'MaraShow.com, online, on air, and on your mobile device. The Mike O'Mara Show is a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet.
I was like, Jennifer Lopez really singing loud right now.
At the Roxbury.
Yeah.
Hey, they're listening. We want to make sure they hear it. Greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. And if you're here, you do too. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show. Oh, you know who's loving this right now? Mike O'Mara has got to be loving Texture because he's on a plane right now.
Ooh.
You know he's reading all his golf magazines and his Esquire. Texture has totally reimagined magazines. It's an app that gives you all the articles and stories you want all in one place, plus interactive features, videos, recommendations just for you right on your smartphone or tablet. Think of the magic of that. You've got every magazine you ever want right on your phone. You got your phone with you anyway. You can breeze through hundreds of your favorite magazines, even back issues, and pick the articles that interest you most. Texture makes it easy to find the articles that you care about, and you'll never run out of stuff you love because the Texture editorial team recommends new content just for you every day. Sign up for Texture right now and you get instant insider access to all the content from the world's best publications. And since Texture is entirely digital, it's environmentally friendly, and what Carrie loves, no magazines spread out all over the house.
Ah, perfect.
I never miss Rolling Stone because it's always right there on my phone, and Carrie doesn't have to say, put that away. Get rid of it. Plus, you can share Texture with your whole family. And here's the best part. Texture is offering a free trial right now when you go to texture.com/TMOS. You get immediate access all to the top magazines in the world, including back issues, bonus video content. It's unbelievable. Start binging for free right now at texture.com/TMOS. That's texture.com/TMOS. And binge, baby, binge.
Oh, yeah.
So you excited?
I'm pumped. As far as a live show is concerned, I talked to Mike again last night.
Okay.
And travel day for Mike, as Carla, as you mentioned, and Mike are on a plane right now coming up. And I said, it seems like we have everything, but I know something's going to be royally effed before we start. So be prepared.
Well, what I said as to myself is I'm leaving today, and I've made lists. I've got lists, post-its everywhere.
List, baby.
And I just said, I wonder what I'm going to forget. It's because you know there's going
to
be something.
I do have something to ask you about after the show that I thought about driving up here.
Okay.
That's what always, it just happens that way.
Understood.
There's a quick note for our listeners that are listening now. And Ronique, if you bought a t-shirt, you'll know this, that if you want to pick them up at the DC Improv, we're going to have them. So ideally, it would be awesome if you just got there a little early.
Okay.
And we will direct you towards where the pickups are. Because no one's going to really want to do it afterwards. We will have somebody there afterwards to pick them up. But ideally, it would be awesome if you picked them up before the show started. Because with our limited staff, it's going to be a fire brigade? I'm for it. It's a fire.
I think the word you're looking for is cluster F.
No, not cluster F. I'm looking for a fire drill.
A fire drill.
Fire drill. Okay. Foreigner says fire drill. Why did I say brigade? What am I, in the 20s?
I was going to say, he learned a new word. He learned a new word, and he was very excited to bring it to the show.
Jockey time. the word I wanted was fire drill to get from the improv to the Mad Hatter and be set up there because, as you know, Rob, we like to reuse our signage.
Yes, we do.
So the signage from the show will have to be at the event.
You mean we didn't double up on the signage?
No.
No.
I was making a map on, because I like to do everything hard on.
Yeah, you do.
On Photoshop.
And by the way, if the show lasts more than 4 hours, call a physician.
I was making a map on Photoshop so we could give the interns exactly where everything's supposed to go.
Right.
And I sat there, I'm like, no one's going to be able to decipher this.
No. Mm-mm.
It's all blocks.
Yeah.
It's all blocks.
It makes perfect sense to you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Meanwhile, what's Rob Ford's main concern? Should he wear his pumpkin sport jacket?
Yeah, yes. I don't want to say this, Jackie. You know, I wore it for Halloween.
He said, he comes in so serious. Really like he's found a flaw in our code in the internet. Like it's something's going to take the entire show down. He says, so dress code. I got a David S. Pumpkins jacket.
Well, he's a showman. Right?
Among many other things.
Also, a great date. Because when we went to see Adam Ferrara, he laughed, he ate, he didn't pay for a thing, as he shouldn't, and we had a great time.
Sold out show, largely because he was there.
Hey,
that
how
was
dare
a
you?
Full house.
It's a fat man to fat man. Mm.
He sits wider than I do. I will tell you that.
Not anymore. Not anymore.
No, it's all shoulders. He's all shoulders.
No. I would take a tape measure of both of you here right now. What is your
worst porn ever?
What is your what? Can you have you decided after Mike gave you the audible and told you couldn't dress like him? Why do you think he doesn't want you to dress like him?
Well, because he needs to sparkle.
Yeah, but he's dressing down.
Yeah, you see, I don't know.
There's no sparkle in dressing down.
I think actually the bottom line is that it all goes back to 1992 when they would dress me up. I think he likes to see me.
He likes torturing you?
Well, no.
You like dressing up. You're the first guy that showed up in tails.
Yeah. But it's not.
At one of our live events.
Never wore tails. But I wore
a white tuxedo.
A white dinner jacket.
Out of a dinner jacket? It's a tuxedo, right?
It is.
Okay.
But technically, it's a dinner jacket.
I've never heard somebody my age call it a dinner jacket.
Yeah,
not
what
your
is a
age?
Dinner jacket?
Yes.
A dinner jacket is actually an isolated.
I've never heard someone your age call it a dinner jacket until right now.
Okay. It is a single jacket, not a tuxedo. A tuxedo implies a matching coat and pants. But a dinner jacket, another dinner jacket I had, which was an ugly dinner jacket, was the red plaid dinner jacket.
Let me ask you something.
Please.
And this is as a friend.
Yeah.
If I
had an addiction of sorts, right?
Yes.
And there was a piece of clothes that had something to do with that addiction.
Okay.
I would do everything in my power not to use the name that references my addiction.
Okay, let me go ahead and let me
point.
I'm going
to
decode
that,
it.
To that
because
piece
of my food addiction, I shouldn't reference a meal.
No, you don't want to call it a dinner jacket because there's already
is.
Fat jokes coming
but
at you.
But that's what it is. I mean, it's not because I'm morbidly obese. I don't call it, I can't call that a dining table because I'm too fat.
What about a tuxedo jacket?
That would also be okay, but it's less specific.
Yeah, but a
it has a name.
Yeah, like call it a tuxedo jacket.
All right, it was a white tuxedo jacket.
Okay, thank
it
God.
It was actually cream, to be
that's
more
what
specific.
I saw. I was like, he's wearing a white tuxedo.
No, but a white tuxedo would imply white and white pants.
So a full, but the tuxedo jacket.
Yeah, you can say that and you'd be right.
Okay, so we've clarified that. So for those of you at home, decide what.
Oh no, no one's listening
what
anymore.
Reference you want?
They've already fast forwarded to the entertainment.
I would be so scared that. Like, I'm like, hey, which dinner jacket should I write? And there's like, I'm just giving layups to everyone in my life.
Oh, yeah.
I
right?
think maybe you might up. Be pre-programmed to do that more than the average person.
Really?
Yeah, to make a fat joke. Yeah, I think so. I don't think that if you hear the phrase dinner jacket,
I don't
anyone's going to be
know
running.
Enough people that aren't fat. Because people that aren't fat love to make fat jokes with their fat
Hey,
friends.
Fat people like to make fat jokes, too.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I'm not pre-programmed for that. Like, I know that. So I'll give you a full example.
Fantastic.
My life outside of this room and my and the podcast world, radio
right,
world, right?
Right, right.
Like when I was in graduate school, I remember like you always watch your P's and Q's. You always like think that you're in with these professionals, but they're all humans, right? So they all have a sense of humor. And some of them are obese because they're living the life, right?
Right. Right.
And it's like once you get into this like this meshing of friends and you get to know each other, like it just becomes what any group of friends becomes,
sure,
right? Ball busting,
yeah.
Like the same thing you guys do. Maybe this is why this resonates with our audience. Is like, all we do is break balls.
That's true,
yeah, right?
That's
all
true.
We do is break balls,
and we're good at it, and we're good at receiving it.
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of like what we're built on.
Yeah, and no one can get. And it's funny because in that same manner, as we're having this conversation, you have to know how to take it.
Oh yeah,
right?
Yeah, big time.
You have to know how to take it big time, and I remember. One of our professors made some joke, I think at one of my colleagues in my expense, just because we were talking about some other topic, and then they came afterwards and they was like, you know, we were just kidding. I was like, that was hilarious.
Yeah,
like that was a highlight of my day.
Yeah,
right. Because it can't just be the same all the time.
And I've dealt with, you know, when you bring new people on the show, sometimes it's interns, sometimes
yes.
It's, and afterwards, there's always that the first time you do it with someone, they have to say. You know, I hope I didn't go too far. Hope I didn't hurt your feelings. And it goes both ways. You have to say, you know what? It was fantastic. And so they have to know their boundaries and know that
so
it's
safe.
So
to your wardrobe.
Yes.
What have you decided?
I have decided. And right. I did search.
Big surprise.
I will be a surprise.
Yeah, but you've decided.
I have decided. I made an emergency trip to the dry cleaner to get everything together.
Oh.
I have not ruled out some of the suggestions Mike made yesterday. However, in this post-Halloween era... The larger size costumes are harder to come by.
Really?
Yeah. So there was one that I was looking for and I couldn't. And
what was it? Just so we know.
It was the priest collar. So either it's the fact that Halloween is over or
you couldn't find a priest collar.
Not in a larger size.
Yeah, but you've always
I haven't
had a
ruled
big
it
dome
out yet.
Regardless,
haven't
right?
ruled it out yet. I've got
that
a few
would
more
be
things.
Wild.
Wouldn't it be wild that I could great. Take confession at the
do
Mad
you
Hatter?
Do a religious podcast?
Yes, I do. All right. I don't know if this is good news or bad, but I just got a text.
Oh.
Nicky Diamond is available. We couldn't make it work out yesterday. He was not pleased about that. And I imagine he's not going to be happy that Mike is not here because he likes talking to a full complement of
he
people.
He doesn't know that yet either.
So, with that in mind, let us take a break. And when we come back, we'll give you all the fantasy tips you need. Nicky Diamond coming up right here on The Mike O'Mara Show.
It's Tony and Gary.
Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, on tomorrow's episode of The Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein, it's the first time we stop the show to have lunch.
Because you need it.
I know. I get grumpy, all right?
Yeah, it's okay.
I could use some food right now.
Yes, you can.
Check it out, TonyPerkinsShow.com. Subscribe on iTunes and leave a 5-star review. And download the Tony Perkins Show app.
Rob, get a shovel. Get him food down.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Rob Ford Shovel. come on out to the improv. He'll have it. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show brought to you by PetNet. Doesn't your sister have PetNet?
She does. Little Nino is being fed on a regular basis, and now no one has to do it.
That's great. If you have irresponsible kids like me and a dog you love, which I do, Linus, this is the greatest. Now, if you ever wonder if you're overfeeding your pet, studies show that many people do, and that if you feed your dog or cat the right amount of food, they will live longer, but it's hard to know how much to feed them, right? We're not vets, but thanks to PetNet Smart Feeder, it's easy. The new smartphone-controlled automatic pet feeder that personalizes your pet's daily calorie intake based on age, weight, activity level, and food type. You actually tell these variables to the pet feeder, and it feeds your pet the exact right amount. You just have to use app that it'll schedule and monitor all of your pet's meals on your smartphone, and so they even get fed even if you're running late, even if you forget, your dog's going to eat, your cat's going to eat. The PetNet Smart Feeder will feed the healthiest portion at the right time, every day, any day, automatically. Now, we all love our pets, their family, and the PetNet Smart Feeder makes sure they eat right every day. Just go to shoppetnet.com/TMOS today, and the shipping is free. But remember, these things are popular, and since the PetNet Smart Feeder is produced in a limited quantity each month, you need to get yours before they sell out. So get your PetNet Smart Feeder, free shipping, by going to, and this is the website, carefully listen, shoppetnet.com/TMOS. That's shoppetnet.com/TMOS. You can find pet owner peace of mind at shoppetnet.com/TMOS. Now, who's a good boy? He's a good boy. Our good boy is named Nicky Diamond. And we could blow him off, Oscar. I mean, what do you want to call him?
No, diamondpicks.net.
Oh, yeah.
It's still under construction. Just checked.
Yeah, I did too. We can ask him about it. So now let us call Nicky up and see
hello.
If he...
Hey, hello?
Nicky.
Whoa. Nicky Diamond.
Hey, guys. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, you sound energetic.
I've been on a bus for about 18 hours, so I'm energized to murder someone. No, I won't keep it down, sir. Why don't you keep it down?
Dickie,
you're on a bus?
Why are you on a bus?
Well, you know, I was going to fly in for the big event, the big Nicky Diamond Show release party event tomorrow. And
do you mean our show at the improv?
Yeah, whatever you're calling it. it turns out I'm on a no-fly list.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Wait, so where are you on the bus? Where are you in the country?
I am in Missouri right now. I recommend never coming here. Nothing happens here. Oh, my God. You know the kind of people that ride buses?
Yeah,
people,
I do.
People like me, and I don't like them. I don't like them one bit.
So okay. How long of a bus ride is it? How long of a ride is it? Nicky, how long of a ride is it from Pahrump to Washington, D.C.?
37 to 52 hours. Whatever. Who's counting?
Aye.
Are you going to make it? I don't know if you're going to make it. Are you going to make it?
Yeah, I'm doing the math right now.
I'm going to make it. I need someone to pick me up at 6 a.m. Saturday morning.
Oh, are you coming
at
into
the Greyhound station?
The D.C. Greyhound station?
Oh, that place is the pits.
Good neighborhood.
6 a.m. I'd like a little cocktail when I get off a bus. You know
sure.
How that is.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what happens at the show? When are we going to announce my show, right? That's what's happening?
Nicky... We have tickets for you.
We have a ticket waiting for you at the box office.
Yeah, ticket, yeah. Not tickets.
One ticket.
One ticket for you, Nicky. I'm a little concerned here.
Hold on. Just one ticket.
One ticket.
Okay. Hey, no. I'm sorry, babe. I can't take it. Go ahead. Okay.
What? Hold on. What do you mean you can't take it?
No, I met this girl on the bus, Olivia. Apparently, I can't bring my date. But whatever. Okay.
Okay, so if you want to bring her, we can...
If I travel 36 hours, you give him a plus one. I mean, what the hell?
So, but we can work on the plus one, Nikki.
So, ask Olivia how she feels about standing during the show.
Well, she's on a bus, so I have a little bit of patience for comfort.
We'll work something out.
Okay, Nikki. Just, I want, and this is friend to friend here, right? Because you know I really worked hard to get you on the program.
Yes,
if you make it, right?
Okay.
You have my cell number. Please contact me before the show because I want to make sure that you know some ground rules for this program, and it's important. You know how Mike is; like he just doesn't like people making a scene or there being an issue. We also would like to highlight you if you do make it when you make it in the audience and maybe take a moment to say hello. But again, please let me know beforehand so I can brief Mike of the situation.
He doesn't like to be surprised. And also, I'd just like to add one thing to Oscar's bit of advice there. No.
Yes.
Let's not have any surprises. All right? Let's just make sure that we stick to the plan.
Yeah. When you make it,
you hang out.
You don't ask for money. You don't talk about your network show.
Right.
You don't do any of that. If we run out of time, we don't get to you. That might be a situation as well.
We could arrange an introduction for you. There's a PA at the Mad Hatter, isn't there?
Hey, fellas, I know the boss isn't there. I know what you're saying. No surprises. Wink, wink. I hear you.
No, there's no winking.
No winking.
There's no winking.
There is no wink.
I hear a wink.
No, you're not hearing it. It might be something in the bus.
We will be to blame. And by we, I mean me. And then Rob will get yelled at as well.
Okay. Exactly.
Sure. No surprises. Got it. On board, guys.
Oh, all right.
Hey, is there an open bar at this thing?
There is a bar.
There is a bar. And I will comp your drinks.
What?
Okay.
He's not going to make it. All right. Nikki, let's get to the NFL. Let's get to what really moves the meter here on TMOS. On the meter. He's on the meter.
He is.
What do you, before we get to our picks, how have you done so far this season? We're really getting to a point here where you're either up or you're down overall. How is your season coming along?
I'm up about 18 grand in my football bet. And if you don't factor the 27 grand that I'm down in poker, I'm having a really good year.
Oh. So just football you're excelling at.
I'm dominating in football. The other thing, bit of a cold streak. Had some cold cards the last 13 to 18 months.
Cold cards. I'm sorry to hear that.
The cold streak.
But I feel that with that that success in fantasy football, you're still a valid asset to the Mike O'Mara Show.
I'm the best, guys. That's why I'll be having the Nikki Diamond Show on the More Marcus Entertainment Network.
Nikki, let's get to the picks here.
Please.
I've got Peyton Manning playing. He's going against the Dolphins.
I'm sorry, not the Dolphins.
I apologize. I'm sorry. Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Sorry. That's on me.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning's going against Philly. What do you think?
I think Archie Manning's going to have a great game against the Eagles and Ron Jaworski, led by Dick Vermeil, and I think Jimmy Carter's going to be in the stands watching it. What freaking decade are you in?
I'm sorry.
All right, so thumbs down on that one.
He says no.
All right, this is a general open question. I have had the worst time this season trying to pick out a successful defense. What's the best bargain defense out there if I want to count on them for, say, 20 points this weekend?
Well, that's a lot to count on. I would say I think the Eagles have a good defense, and Peyton Manning there, Eli, is known to throw some interceptions. And the Eagles have a good special team. They've already returned two kicks for touchdowns. I would go with the Eagles defense there for a lot.
Do you know that a defense rarely scores 20 points?
Yeah, but I'm saying that if you can get some points from a defense...
Well, I had six. I'm like, thank you. Something.
I've had, you know what? Maybe I should have asked Olivia. What's our diamond pick of the week,
Olivia,
Nick?
Hey, Olivia, did you know that Peyton Manning retired?
Sorry.
Nikki, what's our diamond pick of the week, buddy?
Well, you know what? They used to say that Aaron Rodgers, that he liked to throw to Randall Cobb or Jordy Nelson. He has a new number one target. The last 2 weeks, this guy has seen the ball thrown his way 30 times. Devontae Adams, they're going to play the Colts. The Colts have no defense. Rodgers to Adams, book it. Diamond pick of the week, Devontae Adams, wide receiver, Green Bay. I'm in Missouri, but I'm coming to D.C., and when I get there, I'm going to, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to light him up.
Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Nick. So long, buddy. Can you imagine you spend 35 hard-earned dollars on a bus trip and you got to sit next to that?
Rob, I am nervous. He took me off my A game, hence the Peyton and not Eli, and the wrong matchup at the beginning. I'll say this.
Yeah.
That if he comes.
When he comes.
It is imperative.
Yes.
Imperative that he does not do anything to disturb the show.
Wink, wink.
No.
I'm kidding.
So this is to Diego. This is the entire crew here.
He has to be capped.
Yeah, well, Diego, if you don't mind, just quickly before we go to break.
Yeah.
I'm not his intern, right? Hold on. I'm sorry?
He doesn't have a show here, right? I'm not his intern,
right? No. You don't work for
You him. Work right, for good. Us.
Yeah, good. But you if you got to wrangle, yeah. And this goes to everybody, wrangle.
Wrangling. That guy's a loose cannon.
He is a loose cannon.
Well said, Diego.
And on that note, we're going to break.
Yeah, reckless. There you go. Okay.
Loose cannon.
On the Michael Mara Bonus Show.
Ashley, go ahead. Lay it on us. Who do you think the mole is?
It was kind of obvious from the beginning because there's this 40-year-old bald guy with a stained shirt who reeked of Jack Daniels. And he just...
Wrong?
I wasn't there.
I wanted him to be embedded in the party right. And just be the wallflower.
He wasn't ever creepy.
Mac,
to me.
Was it creepy? Did the guy creep you out?
It got very creepy very quickly. You know he's a great mole when he tells you he's the mole 5 minutes into the conversation.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show, because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeOMaraShow.com. Bonus.
Pretty remarkable bonus show yesterday. Make sure you grab it today.
I walked away from that show and I said, man, even though the mole didn't do exactly what I asked him to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty, pretty, pretty wild.
A lot of stuff was learned. So check out the bonus show. You know, I don't want to spoil it, but one thing I will be wearing to the improv tomorrow is my movement watch.
Ah, yes. Boom, bam. You look like a rapper with that watch.
It is fantastic. Movement Watches was founded on the belief.
Like on MTV, Yo MTV Raps.
Old school.
Yes.
We're going to kick it old school. It was founded on the belief that style shouldn't break the bank. Now, their goal is to change the way people think about fashion by offering high quality, minimalist products at revolutionary prices. And with over 500,000 watches sold in 160 countries, Movement has shown itself to be the world's fastest growing watch company. We all have Movement watches. We all love them. Great looking, stylish. What I love about it is it's heavy.
Can I add something to that?
Yeah.
So when you, and in this world of everybody just looks at their phone.
Yeah.
There is something to be said, especially as you start dating or you get into the business world.
You want to make an impression. Yeah.
If you have a watch on, it means you care. And yeah. that meant something when I was younger. It meant something when my dad was around and he was younger. And he would always say, you got to wear a watch. It shows people you care. Even in this digital age, if you're going to wear a watch, wear a stylish one and wear it for the right price.
Exactly, because Movement watches start at just $95. Now, at a department store, that watch would set you back $400, $500. How do they do it? Well, they figured out that selling online eliminates the middleman and retail markup. And the result? Classic design, quality construction, styled minimalism at the best possible price. Here, I'll say it simple. It's a great looking watch. Yeah. That's what it is.
And they have so many different styles for every personality out there. It's awesome.
Formal, casual, metal, leather band, anything you want. They've got it. And you can get it today 15% off with free shipping and free returns by going to movementwatches.com/TMOS. Now, that's MVMTwatches.com/TMOS.
Yes.
Remember, it's the letter. MVMTwatches.com/TMOS. Step up your watch game. I get compliments all the time. Can't wait for you to see it tomorrow at the live show on my Movement Watch. It's going to be great. Go to movementwatches.com and join the movement. I'm a little nervous about being in the city today, though, Oscar. What with all the killer raccoons?
Yeah, I heard this story last night around 10 p.m.
Yes.
And I sat there and I was listening to WTOP, which is a local news station here in the area. And I said, if I had a DVR in this car, I'd like to rewind that and hear that again.
It really does sound almost like it was made up. Essentially, a cop was attacked by what they assume is a rabid raccoon, because raccoons, they lose their fear of humans when they have rabies.
Yes.
And in trying to defend himself, he shot himself in the foot. He did not shoot the raccoon. Oh. He shot himself in the foot. He is okay. It is a non-life-threatening injury. However, the fear here, I'm not nervous about being shot in the foot. I'm sure I could survive that. Rabies is what's scary. And what's scary is that raccoons are being so bold now is that they're coming out and attacking people.
Yeah, because they're socialized.
And I also, you know, you can remember. Remember we went to that gator park?
Rabies is basically a zombie raccoon, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's basically what it is. It's the Walking Dead, but you got four,
exactly.
Four legs.
And much more ferocious and energetic.
Yes.
Yes, and they want to get you as opposed to getting away.
They'll get you.
And as I told you, I believe I lectured both you and Mike when we went to the Gator Park on our spring break to Florida.
The fact that you bring that up right now blows my mind.
Why?
We had to get a headshot out for a project we're working
on. Sure.
Of our team, right?
Sure.
And we, by the way, we still don't have one. So I'm putting one together and I'm looking.
We have a collage.
I'm looking for, oh, it's so sad.
It is.
Let's try to get like a nice group shot when Mike's in town.
Sure.
Please.
Yeah. He won't let you.
Oh, no. No, because he's got to be skinny Mike when that happens. I've been waiting a long time, Mike. A long time.
All we need is a camera and a time machine.
Yeah. It's like, great. Whatever my heaviest, I just got a hip replacement. You want to take a group picture. Okay, moving on.
Yeah.
So I ran across the spring break video.
Yes.
Because somehow that came up within the search. And I said, my God. The stuff we did on that trip.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So true. So true.
So, rabies.
Yeah, and just so you know, to cap that story, we were so sick of each other. We were really fried. We had spent a full week in a house that was too small for seven people with seven people in a house. And we were driving home, and we really wanted to kill each other. And Mike saw, was it Gator World?
Gatorama. Gatorama,
Gatorama. Gatorama. He says, oh, one of the last great roadside attractions. Let's go.
He's so white trash.
And Oscar and I both went, no!
No. We're on our way home. The next state's around the corner.
Exactly. And so we stopped, and I had to lecture you guys that raccoons were vermin and my hatred for raccoons, and I don't trust animals that have thumbs. And
I'm just looking for a raccoon picket. Please continue with the
okay.
story.
Okay. So anyway, if you're in the Washington, D.C. area, be careful because the raccoons are attacking. And I did want to take a moment to tell a story, a true story.
Please.
That involves raccoons, because it makes me think back. This is why I hate raccoons. Now, you know, when I grew up, my first like real job was delivering furniture. But you know also that before that, my grandfather, Big Daddy, grew produce and we sold it on a roadside stand. I worked on the farm, as Mike likes to say. And because it was a suburban area, it was in McLean, Virginia. And that was, you know, in the 1930s, that was the boonies. That was way outside. But by the time the 80s rolled around, it was very, very suburban. And it was lots of houses. And it became quite pricey real estate. So it was weird to have all of these homes surrounded in these McMansions and these tight neighborhoods.
Because people would come into that neighborhood because of the real estate.
Right.
And actually it happens in D.C. a lot. There's legislation that's trying to stop in any nice neighborhood or any city that's grown.
Right.
What used to be the suburbs. And I'm not talking about gentrification. I'm talking about sheer like a land grab. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
You come
in,
buy the house. You're like, I'm going to tear down that house and build an obnoxiously large, sometimes just vertical house.
Because that's all the land will allow.
Yes.
Yeah. But you would have, you know, house.
But you'd
house.
Have the... Some of the mainstays
right.
that were there, and they look like the planned community that was there in the 1950s.
And then in the middle of it, there'd be like a 4-acre plot of land where there'd be corn or, you know, 5 acres of
Your Big Daddy
tomatoes.
Had that much acreage in McLean?
He had, when I was alive, he had about 5 acres total, but then he would also rent land from people that had, you know.
But you had 5 acres in McLean.
When
did he sell that?
We sold all of that.
Ooh. We as in he.
He, I'm trying to think when the family. Sold
Don't
it.
Pretend like it's yours. It was his.
It was late 90s, I think. And then we used that actually to keep him sustained through his.
Oh my God.
The rest
I
of
thought
his life.
When he passed, he
no,
sold
he's...
the house afterwards.
No, we had the house, but not the land. That was across the
oh,
street.
Oh, you saw it was two, okay. two different sales ponies.
Two different
keeping
sales.
Keeping the track at home, yes. But so you sold the acreage.
We sold the
what
acreage.
Did they build on that?
It was connected to a senior citizen. facility called Vincent Hall. Mm-hmm. It was a they had some sort of alliance with the military. So when older people in the Army and Navy and the military retire, they'd go over there. But it was next to that. So they gave, as I recall, not the best bid, but the most favorable bid, because it would mean not a whole bunch of houses there. They just expanded their property.
And there's some a little bit of a there's like benevolence to say,
yeah,
okay.
It was a good sale.
Yes.
But before that,
could you have like or maybe negotiated for Big Daddy to go there?
No, it was never. He never got to that point. He was always okay at home until the very end.
But use the funding from the sale to sustain the care at home.
Exactly.
Ah, got it.
Where some people would do like a reverse mortgage.
Yes.
He was able to do that. Okay.
Don't do that.
So anyway, we had the, you know, he had acres, you know, throughout the neighborhood, yeah, where anyone had essentially a big backyard was enough that he could plow.
That's so cool.
But what
you
happened?
You guys could play football back there.
But what happened is
soccer.
As the raccoons got more and more,
sure,
bold. Yeah, we're a big soccer family. I wasn't even going to mention it, but Pony dipped his toe in. So the raccoons.
What they're saying is they're white people.
The raccoons got more and more bold, and the raccoons eventually figured out, these suburban raccoons, that when the corn got ripe,
they could eat it.
Yes.
Oh my God, it was feasting time.
And I mean, it was like putting out a buffet for raccoons, and they knew when it was ready. Of course, you can't pull corn early. It doesn't ripen off the stalk. So they would get it usually, and I'm not kidding, like 18 or 24 hours before we could pick
it. Oh, my God.
And every time they destroyed an ear of corn, that was like a quarter, because that's how much,
yes,
it was. It was $3 a dozen, and it got to be a big deal. And you can't really, they say there's, you can sprinkle human hair, and it keeps them away. There's sprays. Nothing worked. The one thing we found that would keep raccoons away. No. You're going to love this.
What?
We would put radios out tuned to all night talk stations. They would hear human voices.
Oh my God.
Wow.
And they would leave the corn alone.
Just Larry King.
Yeah, exactly.
All night.
We're going to McLean. They're eating the corn. Go. And
is that how you got it? You fell in love with talk radio?
It's part of it. It's part of it.
Because you're little Robert going out there with all your little radios and turning on talk radio.
And it was horrifying.
Oh, my God.
Because we'd go out at when the nightfall would come, it'd be dark. Cornfield would be scary at night. You go out, you have to find, I believe it would start with the Orioles game.
Do you know?
Oh, and by the way, music didn't keep them away.
There are so
had to be talk radio.
There are so many That's parallels insane. Here. And Rob, look, you've got, this is a movie, right?
Right.
You've got, certainly not Superman and the son of Jor-El coming down and landing in a cornfield and finding little Super Rob there.
Yeah. Kal-El.
But Kal-El, Jor-El.
Of
Who's
course,
Jor-El?
Jor-El is his father, played by Marlon Brando. I was.
Would it be son of Jor-El then?
Son of Jor-El, yeah, is Kal-El. You were right. I was just being more, I was clarifying.
You gotta be a dick about this, right?
You can't be a dick at all.
You can't just give me. You can't give it to me.
I'm just trying to be clear.
Two, you've got little Robert going out there, which would be you back then.
Little Robbie, I was called.
I'm sorry, Little Robbie. And you're just laying out these radios.
Right.
Before the corn ripens. How many summers was this?
Oh, God, this had to be 10 consecutive years. Wow.
And it's sowing the seeds of your broadcast career, because that was your little job.
I was.
How many radios?
It depended. By the time it was like mid-August and everything was coming together,
yeah,
we put out probably 6 or 8 radios a night.
Whoa.
That is wild.
And it was set up. Now, this is
battery powered or?
Yeah, battery powered. It's a weird parallel, but when you go to like an amusement
park. This
is an
origin story.
This is what it is for the worst superhero ever. It is a fat young superhero. My name, Cal Elephant.
Oh, stop.
So, but
stop. Show title.
Kind of like when you go to like Busch Gardens and you walk from, say, the Italian section to the English section, mm-hmm, and the music changes but never overlaps, because by the time you're done hearing the Italian music, you're hearing the English,
yes,
music. That's how you'd have to put the radios out. You'd have to walk until you stopped hearing the Orioles game, and then you'd put on another radio so that the sound would cover.
Would travel.
Yeah, so it would cover the entire patch.
That is surreal, man. Have you ever told that story?
I don't think so.
Not even drunkenly on
Never
Game Cookies?
I don't think so.
Yeah, because that would be where you, again, where that foundation of, oh, like, this is interesting. Like, most people that listen to talk radio as children,
yeah,
they either hear it because of their parents, or they hear it because It just, that's the only station they happen to get, because as kids, you're like, oh, I remember I had this disdain for talk radio. I just wanted the music. I wanted to hear Al B. D. I wanted to hear Donnie Simpson. I wanted to hear anybody on the radio just playing music, right?
Yeah.
But as I got older, I was like, and I was understanding the subject matter.
Yeah.
You start loving the superstation, WJFK. You start like getting into it.
Meanwhile, I'm lost in the middle of McLean listening to Ken Beatrice. But you
what station would you put it on?
It was, I think it was WTOP, because that was the one that would do talk all night. That was before it was a juggernaut.
Yeah, yes.
But that's how I grew to hate raccoons, because I had to put those damn radios out.
Rabies, by the way, and you know, we have a lot of friends.
Hydrophobia, as the oldsters would call it.
Speaking of the DC's finest, yes. We have a lot of friends on the force.
Yeah.
And when I heard that story, I said, if you're assigned to what is the DC DOP, I think they have like a barracks where they keep their horses. That's where the raccoon was, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
That, are you the officer that rides along, or are you the officer that's actually a mounted officer? And then you got off and you see the raccoon in the stalls?
Right.
Or is it you get called because there's there has to be some sort of context to that, right?
Yeah, they're very vague about it. They said that
when I heard it on the radio yesterday, he shot himself in the foot in that stall. So was the raccoon living on those ground? Because sometimes, look, I had raccoons in Glover Park next to the condo, and I remember a few times, like I thought it was they're so big in the city, that they're as big as like. Dogs, right? The golden retrievers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
not golden retrievers, but
I would say, how big an opening do you think a sewer is in the city?
18 inches.
Okay, so that's what I was looking for the picture. I found a raccoon dead next to the sewer.
Oh, not like a manhole cover, but like the width of
the
I would say 3 feet.
Okay, 3 feet. It was at least 2 feet.
Yeah, they get big,
right?
Because they're
huge.
They have no natural enemies in the city. And they eat garbage.
They eat the garbage.
Right. Yeah.
And I sat there and I was like, that thing, I can't defend myself against that thing.
No.
It's dead now, but I'm sure its brother or sister's hanging out around the neighborhood.
And there's nothing worse than a raccoon with a plan for revenge.
Yeah, forget about it. You're done.
So the takeaway on this is I hate raccoons, and my grandfather saved $400 worth of corn.
Scary.
By spending $500 on 9-volt batteries.
scary enough to shoot yourself in the foot, though. Because if you don't have a shovel and that's the only weapon you have, you would shoot at it.
You would.
They're scary.
Big green eyes looking at you. So I've got two images in my head now. Big green eyes in my childhood when the house had 9-volt batteries everywhere.
You go and tell that story to your family. Then they'll know why you are the way you are.
I just have to get them to listen to me. We're going to take a break. We're coming back with Oscar Rotzi. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. Well, we all know you're coming out to the Improv and then the Mad Hatter for the Mike O'Mara Show Live, but what are you going to do Saturday morning? Why not listen to the Rob Spiewak Show, heard on 97.1 The Wave? We got a great brand new show for you this weekend with new music from Elvis, live music from Otis Redding and Darlene Love, TV tunes that actually hit the top 40. We salute the Chicago Cubs and a deep cut from Alan Sherman. It's more than you can handle, and it's all on the Rob Spiewak Show, heard exclusively on 97.1 The Wave, your beach station, or stream it live at 971thewave.com. Download the app. Take Rob Spiewak with you. Despite my size, I'm portable.
Rob Spiewak.
Great radio station and a great stream on their app. It's great for just driving around. They play the best music, and it sounds awesome. So check that out, 971thewave.com. Now, I'm addicted to CISO.
CISO.
This is awesome.
I finally caught bajillion dollar
properties. Isn't it great?
Properties. Yes.
So great.
I sat there. I said, Shannon, CISO rules. We can watch all of this right here.
Yeah. It's awesome.
And Pony, this is up your alley.
Yeah, tell me about
these guys are nuts. They're nuts. And Rob played a clip the other day, but the clip doesn't. That's just the tip of the iceberg. It's the parody show of parody shows.
The satire is so strong. And I said this before. Carrie said, what are you watching? What show is that? Because it sounds, in passing, like a real reality show.
We've got a five-bedroom. Like,
but it is off the hook. Also, another brand new original show called Take My Wife. It stars a real-life lesbian couple, Rhea Butcher and Cameron Esposito, based loosely on their life. They play stand-up comics on the show. They're stand-up comics in real life. But it is, you know how when Seinfeld came out mm-hmm. and it was just such a great marriage of the real character and the show?
Yes.
They've done it again. It's awesome. Watch that. Take My Wife. But more about CISO. CISO is comedy for comedy nerds by comedy nerds. It's spelled S-E-E-S-O. It's a new on-demand, ad-free streaming service that brings you all the best comedy ever, all in one place. Bingeable comedy, anytime, anywhere, no commercials. Like, you can watch, they have every episode of Saturday Night Live ever. They have, and the new episodes of Saturday Night Live are on CISO the next day. Same thing with Jimmy Fallon and Seth Meyers. It's everywhere. If you like British comedy, how about the entire Monty Python catalog? How many times have I almost bought that on DVD? And now it's in my house waiting for me every night. And as Oscar mentioned, great original programming, stand-up. CISO has it all. Now, right now, our listeners can try CISO free for 2 months when you use the promo code TMOS at checkout. After that, it's only $3.99 a month. That's a pittance. It's so worth it. Just go to CISO.com right now to sign up for 2 months free with the promo code TMOS at checkout. That's CISO.com, promo code TMOS. The critics have spoken. And CISO is the future of comedy. And now, the future of entertainment is Oscar Rotzi. Oscar.
Aye, fellas.
Yes.
Oh, you like seeing that live?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's fun to watch the new interns.
Yeah.
You know,
they're like, whoa.
Yeah. Cross that off your bucket
list.
He
really does that.
Yeah. I thought it was on tape.
I thought that was canned. It's live. Quick selfish plug, if you don't mind,
please.
Rob.
You're going to be at the Improv tomorrow?
No. I am pumped up, and I don't even, like, I'm coming. I was sitting here, I was like, man, like, I can't wait for tomorrow's show, right?
I know.
And then we get to go to the Mad Hatter, and then on Sunday I'll probably go see Adam Ferrara.
Yeah.
And then on Tuesday, just when you think, because what relief is it when we're done with a live show?
The relief is when it's done and you get to meet with the fans.
Yes.
That's the greatest part.
Or you get home on Saturday night, Sunday morning probably.
Oh, so waking up Sunday morning and know that you have done the show, it's the best.
Oh, elation.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the greatest feeling ever.
You know what? I really should applaud him for a good use of a great word,
elation.
But I feel dirty.
Why? That's a great word.
Yeah, but you said it like it was like a money shot or something. It's gross.
So,
yeah, it's gross.
Tuesday.
Go play with your radios.
Tuesday.
Go play with your radios. Line of the day.
It's been 30 years.
Little Robert. Tuning. Oh, we got to make that in some sort of parody.
I think I found Joe Angel.
That is a scene out of a movie. Okay, on Tuesday, you know, your name came up on Big O and Dukes, Rob, because we're doing.
Oh, how cool! Thank you.
wait till you hear the rest of it. We're doing President of the Roundtable, right?
Okay.
We're so fed up on Big O and Dukes with this election
sure.
that we're actually throwing an event that has nothing to do with the election.
A beautiful distraction.
Yes, a beautiful distraction. Thank you. And we
elation.
We were looking for a seventh to be on Snacks of the Roundtable.
Okay.
And your name always comes up because of the No, don't say thank you again.
No, it's always because nice. Because
you
right.
won Snacks. You came on. Drab and I allege that you cheated.
Okay. Yeah. It's always had an asterisk, but... I will say, outside of the time I won, I participated several times and always made a decent showing.
You did.
Okay.
So, what I'm asking for is, if you don't want to be part of this process, the machine, come out to Jam and Java. Tickets are $10, and we haven't sold it out.
Okay.
So, please.
So, come
if
on
you don't
out.
Mind. Yes,
yeah.
Come on out, and it'll be certainly entertaining at the very least. You'll see who's going to be the president of the roundtable.
Such a hard sell. He's actually making eye contact with the people on Ustream.
Yes, yes.
That's
please.
Wow.
Love to sell it out.
That's right.
Love to.
It's like that
love
guy
to,
that sells the copper sauce
love,
pan on TV.
Oh, love to not think about this anymore. I know that you listen to that show. I know you listen to this show. But just in case, please. Moving on. Another entertainment news.
Come out and have some coffee.
Gentlemen.
Watch the show.
According to we'll be drinking heavily.
Yes,
Wednesday is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Reggie Bush.
Yes.
Is in, according to TMZ, is in Maury Povich territory.
In what way?
Apparently, he has a woman claiming that that he's the father.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
And Reggie Bush, for some time, for those of you that are a little younger.
He was on the bus with Donald Trump.
And Mac.
Yeah.
So, no. Reggie Bush, in his own right, came out of college with Matt Leinart, and they were going to dominate the NFL.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Not so much. But when you're an NFL player or you play for USC in the city of Angels, you are basically the NFL team before they had the Rams.
Right.
And if you think that men who play in the NFL don't have a problem meeting women, men who have been a rock star in college in LA and then in the NFL.
When you are a predestined Hall of Famer, essentially, you've got a pretty good road to ride.
Yes. And the kryptonite to those men are the cocktail waitress in either Las Vegas or Miami or New York.
That'll do Kal-El yep. in anytime.
Absolutely. YouTube video, you're done.
Yeah.
That's it.
You'll
That's
never actually, have elation.
If you think about what happened to Tiger Woods,
yep.
like a roster of them were cocktail waitresses in Las Vegas, right? Because,
sure.
by the way, newsflash, they're the hottest girls in town because they make castronaut money
yeah.
just for walking around looking hot and having guys pay $500 for a bottle of vodka that costs $70.
Exactly.
So he's got a DNA test coming that says that he's not the father, right?
Okay.
Of this, but this woman has so much evidence of them being friends.
Yes.
That the odds of this happening, and again, I'm going to give it 50-50, more like 80-20 that he is the father, because that's, unfortunately, eventually you roll the dice enough, that's probably what happens.
And also, this is a situation where even if the DNA test comes back conclusive that he's not the father, 80% of the damage has been done just because the process has been gone through.
Yeah, but what?
It's damaging.
I'm going to give you a separate side to this, right?
Okay.
You can go around and be single and date women.
God, I wish I could.
But if you get them pregnant in any other place, it's private, right?
Sure.
When you get them pregnant and you're a superstar, right away to the tabloids, it feels like.
Zoom. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What is a guy supposed to do?
There's no good way to handle it.
I mean, you could wear a condom. That's because anybody would say that. That doesn't make sense.
But even, again, this is the situation where even if he is proven not to be the dad, the damage is done.
Yeah, reputation.
Because, it hurts his brand, as we like to say. And if there's just a lingering bit of doubt, and this goes way back, any sort of scandal, the scandal will outlive the truth.
Yeah, it's tough. I don't feel bad for Reggie Bush because he clearly has the means to deal with something like this. But it just every time I see the story, I'm like, man, like I get it. The condom doesn't feel great, but you got to get. That's the only way you get away from all of this.
Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Kanye West, in another vein, right here, has also come up short in some ways.
How dare you?
He's got no effing voice, he says, and he canceled a concert mid-concert the other day.
Oh, so is he not able to fake sing now?
and this is the thing. He's at the Forum in Los Angeles.
Great venue, big venue,
huge, huge venue. He's in the middle of the concert. And then he loses his voice.
Where is it? I don't know.
Everybody at the concert gets refunded, which is cool, right?
That's
the right thing to do.
But not necessarily something that every performer would do, I bet.
But if you're rapping, how do you lose your voice?
Well, have you ever gotten to where you can't talk?
No, this is what we do for a living.
Yeah, but I mean, I've had nights where I've gotten up and I couldn't do this.
Really?
Yeah. Nor like a night of yelling at an appearance or something. Yeah. I mean, and then you can sort of fake it and get it back with hot beverages and lozenges and stuff. But if that were to happen in the moment, sometimes you just can't do it.
And I know I'm going to get a bunch of hate mail from Kanye fans that he sings. He's like this genius. I get that.
Yeah, I've got to write that letter.
But but I could see Celine Dion losing her voice.
That's true, but
I just don't know if you're talking your lyrics to a track, if that really lends itself to, oh my God, I've lost my instrument the way that people come to see pay money for me.
I don't want to be a Kanye apologist here, and I see
your
point.
You're about to become one.
No. I'm just saying that it could happen.
His seventh show in 9 days.
That's a lot. And you know what? If you don't do it right, you can fry your voice that way.
But don't they do that in Vegas all the time?
But it has to do with knowing how to, as Mike says, preserve your instrument. If you're out there, you know, wailing and screaming and not doing it the right way, you can toast your voice. However, losing your voice halfway through a show, that might be suspect.
Yeah.
But with the refund, what's his angle?
Well, I don't. Why would you do seven shows in 9 days?
I know. Do one show at 3 o'clock. and get out by 5. That's the way to do it. Can we have one more?
Yes, one more. And I'll leave you with this. Rob, this is going to be it's going to tug at your heartstrings. Aww. And our prayers go out to Michael Bublé and his family. His 3-year-old daughter was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, my God.
Michael Bublé and his wife are confirming that their toddler Noah is getting treatment for cancer. Mike and Luisiana, if you remember, she's Argentinian, said they're devastated by the recent diagnosis and they will be suspending professional activities for now to focus on their time and attention to the 3-year-old, according to reports in Argentina where the family lives. Doctors initially thought Noah had mumps, but when they brought him to see the doctors in the States, they found out that it was cancer. This Facebook post passed Friday morning, which would be this morning. They wrote, and you know this, Rob, I quote, "We have a long road ahead of us, and we hope that the support of our family and friends and fans around the world in faith get us through this."
Send them some prayers. Send them some positive energy. That's a tough ride, and that's a shame because he comes off as an incredibly likable guy and a talented guy.
Yeah.
And that's a shame, and I know this. There's not a lot that doctors can't do, so keep your fingers crossed. Thank you, Oscar,
very
much.
That is Oscar Rossi for today.
All righty. Let's come back and do the final Audio Vault of the Week. And then we'll start figuring out what we're going to do tomorrow. Do you have any plans?
Yes, I got to go with Diego to Baltimore.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Your T-shirts.
And then off to Pollock Johnny's for a sausage. It'll be a heck of a trip.
It's going
to
be an hour and a half of Diego and I.
Up. Yeah. I can't take the 10 minutes of him before the show.
Up and back.
I think today.
That's an hour today.
That's 3 hours.
Today, I believe I raised my voice at him 3 times.
Well, he's more excited than we are.
Yeah. Play the radio loud. Back after this. It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome back to WDGH. This is Gowan, and I'm joined in studio with none other than the pony boy himself, Matt Bloom. Welcome, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we only have time for a couple questions. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So you're the senior producer of the Mike O'Mara Show, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And is that a job as fun as I'd imagine?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. You've been up in your presence quite a bit as of late, and the fans seem to really dig it.
Mm-hmm.
Given your impeccable timing and impressive vernacular, do you think your role will continue to grow?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Well, we gotta wrap it up, but one more question. What's up with all those tentacles in anime?
Mm-hmm.
And there you have it, folks. Pony boy Matt Bloom. You can hear everything he has to say and, well, hopefully more on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. We're running late, so let's keep it short.
See Glenda Saturday.
Oh, that's right. She'll be signing autographs, signing flats for $5. Comic-Con lingo. Amazon.
Amazon!
We are really in the thick of Amazon season, and I'll keep this brief. If you need something, Amazon has it. They have it for the best price. And if you go through our portal, we get a small percentage.
Please.
It doesn't cost you anything. It just, we ask that you click on it. It's easy to do. Just go to MikeOmaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon button on our website or use the TMOS app and click on the shopping cart. Then shop like you normally would. Here's the thing. It doesn't cost you anything. If you bookmark it, you won't even feel it, but it is the best and easiest way to support this show. How they doing?
They could do better. I was just looking at the numbers right now.
Try harder.
Oh, look, this is a fact. If you're buying anything, Amazon has it.
Yes, fast and easy and cheap.
Even if you don't buy the bonus show, this is the easiest thing you can do to say, all right, I've done my part. Go through our portal, our link on MikeOmaraShow.com, and that's it.
And for the first year ever, I read this morning on CNN, that Cyber Monday is a bigger shopping day than Black Friday. So stay home and do your Amazon shopping. We thank you. Now, let's open the audio vault for today. It is November 4th, 2016.
The 4th, before the 5th.
The 4th, that's right. And we'll be having a 5th tomorrow. Now, this is, I don't normally fall victim to a spot like this.
Victim.
But they did such a nice job. Budweiser is a great company for sentimental spots.
Yes.
And they get me at Christmas time. Throughout the year, they normally don't. But what they did is they put together a mini movie and made it look like Harry Carey was calling the Cubs' victory of Game 7 of the World Series. Did you see this?
I did see it.
It had like 7.8 billion views or something. But they did such a nice job. It starts out with Harry Carey's last game, and then they edit it to make it sound like he called the victory. This is kind of cool.
Sure as God made green apples, someday the Chicago Cubs are going to be in the World Series. And maybe sooner than we think.
Bouncing ball. There's a throw. He is out. Cubs win. Yeah! Cubs win. Cubs are the champion. The Cubs are the champion. Look at that mob scene.
I am not a tremendous sports guy, and it really tugged at my heartstrings. I can only imagine what a lifelong Cubs fan would think when they saw something like that. So look at that online. That's very cool. Also, the show Parks and Rec. Did you watch it, Parks and Recreation?
Yes. Not as much as everybody that watched it likes to tell you they watched it.
Yeah. It's kind of like being talking with a vegan, isn't
God. But I saw it. It was funny.
Oh, the worst.
Yeah. Not all the time, but it was funny.
I think, can you imagine someone who watched Parks and Rec and doesn't eat gluten?
I'd kill myself.
Yeah. Just a thought. I think gluten's great. Parks and Rec, the last season, they took a trip to Chicago, and the show was set in 2017 in the last season, slightly in the future. Listen to a line they had about being in Chicago in the year 2017.
Yeah, I think you're really going to like it here. And obviously everyone's in a really great mood now because of the Cubs winning the series.
Kind of weird.
Oh, wow.
Kind of neat.
However, that gives me the creeps. Pretty cool.
The guy, the head writer, was a Cubs fan, and he knew that they were poised to have a great year. So it's not quite as weird. But it's
not
still
as cool as the guy
weird.
In the yearbook years ago. It said, you heard it here first, Cubs win 2016 World Series
and
champs.
Did you see Michael J. Fox's tweet?
No.
Because they had Cubs win in Back to the Future 2, and he said, only missed it by 1 year.
It was
this
close.
This is heavy.
Heavy. Nice.
Now, earworms. You're familiar with them, right?
Yes.
The notion of a song that gets caught in your head. They did research about what makes an earworm song an earworm, and here's what they came up with. They're usually faster, with a generic and easy-to-remember melody, but similarities among particular intervals. So you're going to hear something repetitive, catchy, and fast. And based on that, they came up with the top five earworms in recent pop music history.
Great.
And I think you'll see at number five, people are going to hate me. I'm going to give them five songs that get caught in their head. At number five, we have Maroon 5.
Great song.
Yep. It is a great song.
Killer.
But it's the one, I remember the first time I heard it, like a great pop record, the first time you hear it, you feel like you already know it.
Is it? Is it weird to me that I will watch The Voice and see Adam Levine from Maroon 5?
Right.
And be like, I might be attracted to that man.
Not weird at all.
No. Might have to fight me and Pony for him. He is good looking. At number four, Gotye. And I think that is a very, very common thread. All of these songs were familiar the first time I heard them.
Yes.
Although this sounds like The Police to me, always did.
There was that allegation, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Sounds like Sting. That's at number four. Number three, one of the greatest earworms of all time.
Oh, man.
And just like cockroaches, won't go away.
There was clearly you've got The Sopranos.
Yes.
Closing, and then I'm ashamed by this.
I know what you're going to say.
No, you have a different, is it the Laguna Beach version?
No, the Glee version.
The Glee version also ruled, but I remember the Laguna Beach version when they were driving down the hills of Laguna Beach, and there was like a romantic scene. I was like, man, it must really rule to live in Laguna.
Oh, the number two pop music earworm, Kylie Minogue.
The Hills
Minogue.
Fans know what I'm talking about.
I didn't even know this song, and when I heard the clip, I said, yeah, this is catchy. This works. It's Kylie Minogue. The song Can't Get You Out of My Head. Good name for an
Kylie
earworm.
Kylie Minogue on the Australian version of The Voice.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Great ass.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Guilty of producing an earworm. And the number one earworm record of all time, and I got to agree, this is a song you can't shake once you hear it.
The Gaga.
I love Lady Gaga, and again, love her new album, but she is formulaic, particularly her early stuff. Repetitive, dancey, but it's a formula that works, so why ditch it?
Could you take this rhythm and apply it to any song, and they're all hits?
Pretty much.
Right?
It's kind of like a formula.
Yeah, and that's happened with bands ever since the 60s. The band that would release three or four songs that all sounded alike. The Kinks did it. Their first two or three records were all essentially the same song.
There was a scene in Vinyl that I didn't understand because I'm not musical.
Okay.
Right? Where he, and it's ill-fated, the show is canceled, but on Vinyl.
And yet we still have Westworld. Boo.
The worst. One of the guys walks in, the manager walks in, and he's like, and I think Mike talked about it here on the show.
Right.
Where it's like A, B, B, C, like he's doing the chords.
Yeah.
You're right?
Yeah.
Because that was the formula for success.
Yeah, it's been the same for forever.
Wow, pretty cool.
And it's the tonic manner of the tones that are agreeable in the way they work.
Nice.
So many songs sound alike. I love the fact that Tracy Morgan is still getting it done. Let's close with this. He was on Conan last night, and he told a great little story. But the the nucleus of this story is very cool. He says he has forgiven the man that caused the accident that put him into a coma. Wow. And Tracy sounded and looked great. And he told this story. We'll close with this. Tracy Morgan, after his settlement with Walmart.
You went through a real serious thing, but you did forgive the Walmart driver, isn't that right?
I forgave him, and I'm not even mad at him no more. Yeah. But you know who is mad at him? All my white neighbors.
He got that
settlement. He want me living next door to me. I got daughters.
Yeah, you moved into a different neighborhood now. Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. I was driving my Lamborghini the other day, and a young white dude said, "Hey, mister, how fast does she go?" I said, "I drive this like a pimp."
How fast do you go in your Lamborghini?
30 miles per hour, so everybody in the neighborhood can see it.
Oh.
That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great weekend, everybody. Make sure to come out and see us. If you don't have tickets for the improv, we'll see you at the Mad Hatter. Starts at about 5:30.
Yes.
It is a great place. We'll meet and greet each and every one of you. We really want to see you there. Rare occasion that all three of us are together.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
So capitalize on it. That's it. Another Mike O'Mara show has come and gone. Oh, and Matt Dotson will be there.
Matt Dotson.
Be sure to join us again.
He's sleeping with his intern.
For more fun and more thrills at MikeOMaraShow.com. I'll wear a dinner jacket so you can call me fat. If you want to correspond with the Mike O'Mara Show with a letter or package, send it to TMOS Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007. To get your message or birthday request into the Wednesday mailbag, which is on Thursdays now, please send it to Rob, that's Rob with two B's, at MikeOMaraShow.com. And remember, we rely on your word of mouth, so tell a friend or family member about TMOS and make sure they get it too. For Oscar Santana and Mike O'Mara, have a safe trip, Mike. See you tomorrow. This is Rob Spiewak inviting you to join us again for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Ta-ta.
Yo, TMOSers, hook me up. It's Rob Mayer. I need you to watch my show on Comedy Central. It's November 6th, 11:30 p.m. It's called Heart of the City. It's myself and Kevin Hart. I'm going to be huge. Operation Leave Joe Behind. Hashtag Heart of the City. Hashtag Mayor of the City. Rob Mayer, Heart of the City, November 6th, Comedy Central. Watch me so I can say goodbye to you forever.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.